This is the country of the Gadarenes. So I take them to be a foreign people. In Israel, Jesus counseled secrecy. But this man, he says, go tell everyone what great things God has done for you. And he goes and does it. So there's an interesting contrast here, what Jesus tells this guy and what he tells other people in Israel when he heals them. And there's a lot of, you know, there's stuff like that. The Gentiles shall see his light. The people that have dwelt in darkness have seen a great light. He sort of made a mini apostle at the beginning. He sent out to preach, tell people what God has done for you. And he wouldn't let them come with him. I mean, Jesus came over the sea, basically stepped off the boat, met this guy, healed him, and sent him. I mean, think about it. And that's obviously set up in some way. A lot of times they would bring people possessed of devils to him. This man, he actually went out to. Let's cross the ocean, get to the other side. All right, here comes the legion. I got to take care of this business. So it's interesting. Here's one who wants to follow him, but he sends him off. Verse 40, and it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus. He was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come to his house. For he had only one daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. Verse 43, and a woman, having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living on physicians, neither could be healed by any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched. And Jesus said, who touched me? When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? Obviously, it seemed like a strange, you know, I don't get it, Jesus. What's the big deal? I mean, if Jesus was confusing when he was teaching in parables, now he's really confusing. They don't realize. Verse 46. And Jesus said, somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue has gone out of me. Power has gone forth. Someone's touched me. Now he knew who it was. It's just like, you know, in the garden, Adam, where are you? God asks questions of man for man's sake, not because he needs information. He asked the question so that they could say, what are you talking about? He asked the question so they could say, what's going on? So that they could question him and he could answer them. Verse 47. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling. And falling down before him, she declared to him before all the people for what cause she had touched him. And how she was healed immediately. And he said to her, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. She had faith to reach out and take hold of Christ for the healing she desired. The physicians had not been able to help her. But she put her trust in one who she believed she could help. Like I said, with all these healings, you know what? A lot of Christians believe in the healing power of Christ. When it comes to physical illness, but when it comes to the illness of the heart, when it comes to the illness of sin and the sickness that infects us all, they have so little trust, not understanding that these things were just examples so that we would understand that as he could say, get up and walk, he could also say, get up and sin no more. And it would be done if we believe in faith and receive it and with patience seek it. This was his ministry. What about his ministry now? I tell you, lay hold on the promises of God, that you may enter in. Verse 49, while he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying unto him, thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. And when he came to the house, he suffered no man to go in, save Peter and James and John, and the father and the mother of the maiden. Because remember, there's a multitude following him, and he's not going to bring the whole multitude in. So he takes a few of his disciples and leaves some more out there to keep the crowd at bay. Verse 52, and all wept and bewailed her, But he said, "Weep not, for she is not dead, but sleepeth." And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. She was dead. She wasn't sleeping. And they, of course, couldn't understand it. From the perspective of God, the dead all merely sleep. They are sleeping, and he can awake them. He has the power to wake the sleeping dead. To him, they are but sleeping, but they do sleep. That is what death is like. He's like, "Don't worry, she's in heaven. I'll call her back. Oh, little girl, come back from heaven." No, that's false. That is false doctrine. The dead are not in heaven. The dead sleep. "No man hath ascended into heaven, but he that came down from heaven, the Son of Man, which is in heaven. The dead are yet with us to this day. Their graves testify to where they are. But God in Christ shall raise them from the dead. When the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we which remain and are alive to his coming, we believers, we shall be changed." Verse 54, "And he put them all out, and took her by the hand, and called, saying, Maid, arise. And her spirit came again, and she arose straight away. And he commanded to give her meat, and her parents were astonished. But he charged them that they should tell no man what was done." Well, it'd be hard to hide. Everyone knows, oh, there's a dead girl, and Jesus came in, and then, oh, is she still dead? The rumor is going to spread. But remember, it's Jesus' duty in his role as the humble servant of God to always forbid people to proclaim him. In Israel, at least. Obviously, in the land of the Gadarenes, it was completely acceptable. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. "He that believeth on him, though he were dead, he shall yet live." The Christian teaching of resurrection is that God will raise us, that all that are in their graves will hear his voice one day and come forth to the resurrection. Now I can say, but wait, her spirit came again. That's right, her spirit came again. Well, I mean, remember, John came in the spirit and power of Elijah. It's a duplicate spirit. Doesn't mean that now Elijah has no spirit. Well, as long as he's dead, he doesn't, I suppose. But it doesn't mean in the resurrection, it's like, oh, what are they going to do? Be sharing the same spirit? The spirit is not the man. The spirit is not the man. Spirits can be personified. But the personification of the human spirit is the human soul. When God breathed the breath of life into man, he became a living soul. So our personification of our spirit is our soul. And therefore, as it is written of David,